Take your Bibles, please. Find 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Thank the Lord, my God is real. Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, there is a man, there's not a man on the earth that can show the king's matter, but there is a God in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. 1 Samuel, pardon me. 1 Samuel chapter 31. And in chapter 31, you find the demise of King Saul, first king of Israel. And I had said to you early on, I am not attempting to exposit everything about King Saul or any of the kings. I was just desiring to pull some practical messages from the kings. And I've given you some things from King Saul, but there's so much more, so much more. But in chapter 31, you'll find his terrible end. And it's sad for a number of reasons. It's sad because God chose King Saul. And King Saul had a great deal of potential. But King Saul did very, very badly. And his end was very bad. Let's read about it. Pardon me. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through there, come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. Saul died, his sons died, his armor bearer died, but all of his men. This is a horrific defeat. It's a terrible defeat. And if you continue reading the remainder of the chapter, you read about how the Philistines did abuse his body. It grieved David so much that David wrote a song, and I want you to see that. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 1. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 31. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 17. It says, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Now watch this. Here's the song. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? And the song continues, but in verse 25 you find that repeated. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? Then it concludes in verse 27. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Notice, how are the mighty fallen? King Saul had great potential, and he was ahead and shoulders taller than anybody in Israel. And the Lord called him, but the Lord gave him a free will. And he made some very bad decisions. And his end was bad. How are the mighty fallen? You know, there are a great many leaders in our nation and throughout history, mighty men that have fallen. And unfortunately, there are a great many preachers, evangelists, pastors, missionaries that have fallen as well. How are the mighty fallen? Well, in this passage, in chapter 1 or chapter 31 of 1 Samuel, Saul's end was very bad. What led him to this place? You likely know the answers, but that's what I'm going to focus on for a few minutes this evening. And I want to say to those that have joined by live stream, you're welcome and thank you for being there as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight that we have a more sure word of prophecy, a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. Help us to take heed to your word. Help us to be good students of the scriptures. And help us not simply to be hearers. Help us to be doers of the word. ask you to teach us tonight, dear Father. We learn from those things that were done well and those things that were not done so well. We love you and thank you. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. Three things about King Saul. Number one, Saul's demise. What led him to this place? Saul was disobedient. That's simple. He was disobedient to God. We studied just briefly a few weeks ago from chapter 13. Saul, the king of Israel, was impatient. He did not wait on Samuel. Samuel was delayed, but he didn't wait on Samuel, and he offered sacrifice. King cannot offer sacrifice. That's only the priest. And he had violated the law in that way, and he was disobedient. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he was supposed to destroy the Amalekites. When Samuel comes, he hears these sheep. He says, what is that? And Saul says, well, the people did that, but we've got those sheep for sacrifice. And right there in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, there's a familiar verse. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And you know that's right. Obedience, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Obedience is better than liturgy, it's better than ceremony, it's better than practice of religion. Obedience, just doing his will and obeying it. And Saul failed to do that. Number one, Saul was disobedient. Number two, Saul was delusional. And I had used this word on Sunday evening, delusion. It's a false belief held despite irrefutable evidence to the contrary. Delusion, a false belief. It is held in spite of irrefutable evidence to the contrary. And in this popular culture today, there are a lot of delusions. There really are. But Saul was delusional. And let me explain that. He thought he was threatened by David. David was probably the best subject he had. And he was delusional about David. But there's several things that I'd ask you to consider. For just a moment, take your Bibles and turn back to chapter 18. Turn to chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, and look at verse 6. And in this passage, you can see Saul's jealousy. Saul was an envious man, covetous man. Saul was jealous. And really, in so many ways, he had it all, but yet he was jealous of David. Look at it, verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. I remind you then in chapter 17, David stepped out and by the grace of God, he defeated the champion of the Philistines, Goliath. So you look at verse 6. Came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet the king Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. Verse 8, and Saul was very wroth. He was angry. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but my kingdom? I want you to notice Saul's problem, it's envy, it's jealousy. He's jealous of David. Now, he's the king of Israel. He's a monarch. He's he's an absolute ruler. In a way, as far as this whole world goes, he's got it all. But he's jealous of David. And by the way, David was the one who stepped out and took on Goliath. David was not the one that would have been thought to be victorious over the champion of the Philistines, but he was. He was the one that took on Goliath when nobody else would. And I say to you again, Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody in the whole kingdom. And nobody stepped forward. David did. Saul, he should have rejoiced at David. But he's jealous of David because of the accolades that David received. Now, throughout the chapters we read about King Saul, he was jealous of David and he felt threatened by David. Would you look at the last part of verse 9? It says, and what can he have more but the kingdom? Saul is not about serving the Lord, and he's not about serving his people. He's about serving himself. And so he wants this power for himself. He wants the kingdom for himself, and he feels threatened. You know, Really, Herod was the same way. Those wise men came into Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And Herod was troubled. You better believe he was troubled because he wasn't born a king. He was a usurper. He was an Edomite. And he hears, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And he wants to hold on to his power. That's this man, Saul. He wants that power. He wants to hold on to that power. Remember this. You know this. It's a worldly proverb. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Saul, in a way, started out well. But he didn't go very far before he was disobedient. And beyond that, he was delusional. He was an insecure man. He was a jealous man. Now, let's go to another passage. Go to chapter 23. 1 Samuel. Preacher, are you a little distracted? 1 Samuel chapter 23. Look, please, at verse 26. Verse 26. Saul was jealous of David. Saul was insecure. He's worried about losing the kingdom. And by the way, ultimately he did. You know that. And even early on in our study, we saw that God rejected him. Well, there's two things about that. Number one, if it's God's will that another man serve, then Saul, you better step aside. And if it's God's will that another man do something perhaps that you're doing, if it's God's will that another man serve here, and I better step aside. You see, God's will is what's important, not how I feel about it, how you feel about it, not what I want. God's will is what's really important. And by the way, if you're in fellowship with him, you want the same thing he wants anyway. But number one is God's will. Number two is Saul did those things that displeased the Lord, and it ended up with his kingly line stopping right there, right there. We just read about how his three sons lost their lives in that final battle. But look here, chapter 23, look at verse 26. And in this passage, in these chapters, Saul is pursuing David. Look at verse 26. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. You know what that means? David is surrounded. David is surrounded. This looks like it's the end of the matter for David. But the first word in the next verse is but. But something happened. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, "Haste thee and come, the Philistines have invaded the land." Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. What I want you to notice is Saul was completely distracted from things that are really important. Here he is, he's pursuing David, he's jealous of David, he feels threatened by David, and really, David is probably his best subject. I mean, David had at least two opportunities to take his life, and David wouldn't do it. He said, "I'm not going to touch God's anointed, I'm sorry, I won't touch God's anointed." And so he's going after David, and he's spending all this energy and all these resources, and he's got his men, his best men, and they're going after David. He should have been concerned about national defense. He should have been concerned about those Philistines. He should have been concerned with the responsibilities of his office, but yet he is using his energy to pursue someone, and that's not what was important. Well, we see that. We see those that are distracted. That previous administration, President Biden, he was focusing on DEI rather than national defense. He was focusing on gender-affirming care rather than more important things. He appointed Lloyd Austin. Lloyd Austin had a really great military career, but he appointed Lloyd Austin to the Secretary of Defense. Now it's called the Secretary of War. And Lloyd Austin served the whole time that Joe Biden was the president. Now, do you remember the first thing that Lloyd Austin wants to do? What was the term that he used? He called it a stand down, and he wanted to confront white supremacy in the military. Now, listen. I'm opposed to white supremacy or any other supremacy. I know that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. But what came of that? Were there any white supremacists that were found? I mean, he's going after something that if it's almost non-existent. I mean, he's focusing on that. And you know, recruitment was down. There were all kinds of problems. But he's distracted by things that are not important. Well, David was a threat to Saul, or Saul thought he was. He really wasn't. And Saul was delusional. He had a false belief despite irrefutable evidence to the contrary. In 1 Samuel 18:29, it says, Saul was yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Saul was disobedient. Saul was delusional. And Saul was also, he was degenerate. Now, let me work through this. He was degenerate. When we read about King Saul, initially, he had the presence of the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God departed from him. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. 1 Samuel 28, verse 16, then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? Now, let's just clarify something doctrinally. In the Old Testament, nobody's born again. In the Old Testament, nobody is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and sealed to the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the new birth, the spiritual regeneration, it was not secured until the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and suffered and bled and died on that cross, and he said, it is finished, and he's the author and finisher of our faith. So you read in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit presence would be known, and then the Holy Spirit could depart. Now, if you're saved tonight, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are sealed to the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. But Saul didn't have that. And Saul disobeyed God, and the Holy Spirit departed from him. And the Bible says that an evil spirit came and troubled him. You see, he was operating completely and wholly in the flesh. He doesn't have the presence of God. He doesn't have the leading of God. Oh, he could have. He could have. He did initially. But he did those things that displeased God, and God departed from him. And so here in this passage, as we come down to the end of his life and this terrible defeat, he's operating completely in the flesh. He's a natural man, and he's just doing the best that he thinks he can do. You read 1 Samuel chapter 28, and he is trying to find revelation from God. He's trying to have a leading from God. He's trying to do those things that he could get some guidance, but it's to no avail because God had completely departed from him. And his fear that he would lose his place as the king, it materialized. And it was certainly demonstrated, and it was prophesied early on. 1 Samuel 15:11, and 1 Samuel 15 is where Saul disobeyed concerning the Amalekites. The Lord said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. 1 Samuel 15:28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. 1 Samuel 15:35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul was operating completely as a natural man in the flesh with his own judgment, and it got him in so much trouble. Saul's end, it was bad. The latter part of his reign was bad. He wasted his time pursuing David. It was nonsensical. Why'd he do that? He was disobedient, he was disillusional, and he was degenerate. How are the mighty fallen? We learn from disobedience in the Bible as well as obedience. We learn what to do by studying the Scriptures, and we also learn what not to do by studying the Scriptures. And Saul is a lesson in what not to do. What not to do. And whatever the Lord would have for you. You see, Saul had a purpose. He was the king of Israel. He had responsibilities. He neglected them because he was so consumed with himself and so delusional about David. Now, I'm not the king of Israel, and neither are you. But if you belong to the Lord Jesus tonight, you're here for a purpose. Amen. And disobedience will hinder that. Delusions will hinder that. Operating in the flesh Now, if you're saved tonight, you can't, the Spirit will not depart from you, but you can walk after the flesh when you should be walking after the Spirit. And all of that will hinder God's work in your life. It'll hinder your purpose. It'll hinder your fellowship. And I want to tell you, that's no way to live. It is no way to live. But I said, if you are saved tonight, you have the indwelling and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have that. If you're uncertain about eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. And as He suffered and bled and died, He said, "It is finished." And He's the author and finisher of our faith. What's finished on Calvary's cross? Everything that is necessary for your eternal salvation. Everything that's necessary for your reconciliation to your Creator and your adoption into His family. It's all finished right there on Calvary's cross. And how do we know that the payment is sufficient? How do we know that our Lord's payment for our sins is sufficient to meet the demands of the holiness of God? We know because after 3 days and three nights, that tomb was empty. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Wherefore, He hath given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. So the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid for your sins on Calvary's cross. So how do you respond to Him? You trust Him as your Savior. You believe on Him. You admit yourself a sinner. You come before Him in humility. You call upon Him and trust Him as your Savior. And it will change your life. On the Wednesday evening that I heard the gospel presented, I wanted salvation. That's all I knew at the moment. I want eternity. I want to live with that assurance. But what the Lord gave me that I didn't know is the abundant life. Doesn't mean that I do have struggles, and you understand that, and you do as well. But if you know the Lord Jesus, you have purpose. We're His ambassadors. We're to endeavor to make a difference in this old world for our Savior. And brethren, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gospel still saves, and the Holy Spirit still convinced, and the Bible is still true. My, how the mighty have fallen. Thank you so much. Let's stand together for prayer. If you're uncertain about eternity tonight, let me or someone here tonight help you. But we agreed to pray for these many requests, these many individuals. Let's do that. But let's also examine ourselves. And let's endeavor to be in good fellowship with the Savior. Let's endeavor to seek and to do His will and to make a difference in this old world for the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this evening. And once again, I thank You so much for the fellowship of the brethren. It is so good to come together with like-minded individuals in a midweek service. Now as we come to the invitation, help us to sincerely examine ourselves and help us to be mindful and fervent in prayer. We ask in our Savior's name. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. As our pianist plays, let's use this time to pray. If you need someone to pray with you, there's someone available.